forward, if I could just ask you to recite one Surah of the Mubarak to the Fatima. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا مولاي يا رسول الله وعلى أهل بيتك المدنونين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا مولاي مولاي وابن مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا غريب يا مظلوم يا عطشان كالبراء ما خاب من تمسك بكم ولا من لجأ إليكم سادتي يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه الكريم والقول كان الحق والأصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربك للملائكة إني جائر في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى الله عليه وسلم
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
I know you all have been sitting for a really long time, and I'll just be 5 or 7 minutes and I'll conclude inshallah. I want to reflect on an evening like this, on chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse number 30. For during these days and during these nights of Muharram, we recollect the tragedy of individuals who had attained levels far higher than that of the angels, who had linked themselves on the spiritual realm and reached lengths that we only desire and aspire to reach. So Sayyidina Ali alayhi salam, of course, is the exception to every rule, being that he is the son of God's Prophet. But when we take a look at those unique personalities who stood by him on that day of Ashura, they gave everything out of themselves. And again, I say everything out of themselves, because it wasn't that they gave their wealth, it wasn't that they gave their time, it was that they gave their selves. You can give out of your time and also give out of yourself. You can give out of your wealth and also give out of yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will never attain righteousness until you give out of that which you love. If you go to commentators of the Holy Quran in regards to this verse, you go and you see commentary after commentary, and they will state that humanity, human beings, they love nothing more than they love the face of Benjamin Franklin. They love wealth so much, and when Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will never attain righteousness until you give out of that which you love the most, they say it's in regards to your wealth. There's something that is far more valuable than one's wealth. In New York City, we spend $15 on a peanut butter banana smoothie. In New York City, we spend $20 on a kale salad for lunch, not even dinner. Because money seemingly not such a problem for everybody, and I'm generalizing, and that's not something that I should be doing, but you understand what I'm saying. That these days, people, they pay for convenience because convenience is really important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says those verses of the Quran, that you will never attain righteousness until you give out of that which you love the most, it's not only in regards to wealth. I would argue that the most difficult thing to give out of yourself is yourself. And I don't only mean risking your life, but to give out of your time in a way that's sincere. But to give out of your wealth in a way that's sincere. In a way to give a smile to somebody else in a way that's sincere. In a way to extend your hand to someone who had fallen down. Not only physically, but metaphorically as well, if it's sincere. And in this verse that I began with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reality of the purpose of creation. And He says in these most beautiful verses, He states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers together all of the angels. And He tells them, إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. That I am going to appoint a vicegerent on the earth. There's going to be a creation that I am going to create, O angels, that is virtually very different than you. Within Islamic tradition, angels have one responsibility, and that is to obey God's commandment, and they do just that. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says in Nahj al-Balagha, he states that when an angel is told to stand, it stands. When it's told to prostrate, it prostrates. When it's told to bow, it bows. If it's told to jump, it jumps. If it's told to sit, it sits. The angels, they're absolutely in utter submission to whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do. He states in this verse that I am going to create a creation that's different than you. To which the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Are you really going to create a creation that causes so much bloodshed? Are you really going to create a creation that's going to create so much corruption, so much fasad on this world? Every time you turn on the TV, what do you see except for human beings not being in the support of community? Not being builders of society, but being breakers of it. One thing which I'm not sure was so clear in our presentations and our conversations is, for instance, the unique work that we do at this center. Every single week, every single month, I see individuals who are going through a multitude of different challenges and difficulties. Young people who have suicidal ideation. The majority of people who come to me and speak with me, and I can probably speak on behalf of Imam Khalid as well, who come and speak with him and make an appointment with him, are women who are survivors of domestic abuse. And every single day, when I look at people in their faces, and I try to understand how horrific this world is, you look out for some hope. But sometimes it's really hard to find that hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells the angel that I'm going to create a creation, those angels, they say, why are you going to create a creation that's going to kill people? Why are you going to create a creation that's going to allow for so much corruption in the world? Why are you going to create a creation that's going to allow for domestic abuse, that's going to allow for environmental abuse, that's going to allow for people to be racist and discriminate amongst one another? Why are you going to create people who are going to allow for genocides to take place in every pocket of the world? Why are you going to create people like that? Valid question. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. Oh Allah, and we do whatever it is that you want us to do. You want us to pray to you, we pray to you. You want us to sing your praises, all we do is sing your praises. You want us to stand, we stand. You want us to bow, we bow. You want us to prostrate, we prostrate. We do whatever it is that you tell us to do. The angels, they make a really good argument. When I turn on the TV, when you flip through social media, if you go on Twitter, if you go on Facebook, if you go on Instagram, you'll wonder why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us sometimes. And you'll say, those angels, they're really smart, man. They had a really good point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, from His majestic throne, He looks at those angels. And He states, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. Surely I know something that you do not know. I don't know the answer, my friends. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He tells those angels, I'm not saying you're right, nor am I saying you're wrong. All I'm saying is that I have some knowledge that none of you have. And I speculate. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I did not only create a creation that would stand and bow and prostrate for me, but rather I am creating a creation that in spite of all of the bloodshed, and in spite of all of the corruption, and in spite of everything that is evil in the world, there is also going to be a light from amongst that creation that is going to emanate the hearts of people. It's going to emanate the hearts and the souls and the entire existence of the cosmos. That perhaps amongst creation, there are going to be individuals who are going to ascend levels far higher than that of the angels. And many people, they reserve these verses of the Qur'an toward Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But I say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants us to take a look at these verses. And to understand that every single one of us, you and I, no matter what baggage that you've had in your life, no matter what your ups and downs have been, no matter what your relationship with religion or spirituality has been, we talk about a man like Hur al-Riyahi the other night. We talk about a man like Zuhair ibn al-Qayn. Zuhair ibn al-Qayn was a staunch opponent of the family of God's Prophet, alayhi salam. When push came to shove on the day of Ashura, he is the commander of the right-wing army of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Someone who in the ziyarah we say, As-salamu alaykum ya Ansar Abi Abdullah, As-salamu alaykum ya awliya Allahi wa ahibbah. Three individuals, they commanded the army of Hussein on the day of Ashura. In the center was Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Wa ma adraka ma al-Abbas. On the left wing of that army was Habib ibn Madahir al-Asadi, we spoke about yesterday. And on the right wing of that army, standing next to Abul Fadl al-Abbas, standing at the support of the son of God's greatest creation, Zuhair ibn al-Qayn. So don't worry about your mistakes in your past life. Don't worry about yesterday. Understand the potential that is tomorrow. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells those angels, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Surely I know something that you don't know. Let us be the equation or the answer to the equation of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of judgment, He looks at those angels and He tells them that Muhammad and Ali and Fatima and Zainab and Fayyaz, all of those other individuals who were at this gathering on this night, they or that knowledge that I spoke about that you know about. Understand your potential. And I don't only mean know your potential giving and give to this program, but I mean know your potential in terms of understanding what this world needs. It needs light in darkness. It needs happiness in grief. It needs justice in times of injustice. It needs leadership when everyone's a follower. It means understanding your potential and responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He tells the angels in the a'lamu manat. On these days of Ashura, on these days of Muharram, amongst the greatest of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who I want to speak to her merit tonight, is one of those individuals who, without the shadow of any doubt, ascended toward that height far beyond that of the angels. And that personality who, as we mentioned her name now so many times during the course of the last 2 hours, is the name of Zainab. Zainab is a name that was given to her by her grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is translated as the adornment of her father, Zainab. The adornment of her father because she was an individual who emanated all of the light of her father, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. But what's so incredible, and what's so unique, and what's so powerful, and what's so inspirational about Zainab is of course the patience of Zainab. But it's also about the leadership of Zainab. But it's also about the compassion of Zainab. It's also about the justice of Zainab. It's about the beauty. And what do we know about Zainab? She does not need any introduction after you say that she is the daughter of Ali and Fatima. And traditionally, within our communities, we often recollect the sixth night of Muharram in calling upon the tragedy of Lady Zainab alayhi salam in regards to the children that she gave in the way of Allah Abdullah alayhi salam. But tonight, I do not want to go in that direction. Because even Zainab alayhi salam, she was not concerned about her own children. The only thing that she was concerned about on the day of Ashura were the orphans of Hussein and the family of the Prophet of God. Zainab alayhi salam had lost 4 brothers. The first one of those brothers that Zainab alayhi salam lost was her infant brother in the womb of her mother. The second brother that she lost was Imam al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Narrations, they state that when Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam had been poisoned by the poison of Muawiyah that had been fed to him by Ja'dah, that the pain on the face of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam was so intense that the historical reports, they state that the face of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam began to turn green. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was watching over the Imam, watching over his elder brother as he was vomiting in those last final moments in his life. And it is said that he was vomiting into a pail, into a bowl. And the historical narration states that when Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam heard someone approaching the room where he was undergoing that intense, incredible pain in those final moments of his life, he looks toward his younger brother. He says, "Oh, Aba Abdullah, take this bowl and move it to the side, because this lady who's going to enter into the room, I don't want her to see what I have to go through." Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he moves it and he says, "Oh, my brother, who is entering?" And he says, "My sister Zainab." He was fearful about his sister seeing her in that state. But does Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam know what state she had to see Aba Abdullah? on the day of Ashura. The third brother lost by Zainab alayhi salam was her brother Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. She was standing on the hill, and she was holding the hand of Sakina, the 3-4-year-old daughter of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And she was waiting for the water to come back so she can feed all the orphans of Hussein, so she can feed the granddaughters of God's Prophet. And she was observing from the hill that that flag would fall and the horse came back without its rider. And Zainab alayhi salam had to break the news to the 4-year-old daughter of Hussein, "I'm so sorry, but your uncle wasn't able to bring back any water today." But nothing was more painful than those final moments on the day of Ashura. For those of you who have been to Karbala, you know a location known, we call it Tilla Zainabi. It's called the Hill of Zainab. And on these days of Muharram, if you walk by around the mausoleum of the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, they place a large sign on that hill or the location of that hill. They call it, they say, "As-salamu alayka ya Jabal al-Sabr." Peace be upon you, O patient mountain, for you are able to bear the patience of Zainab alayhi salam on the night of the 11th of Muharram. Narrations state that on the day of Ashura, Shimr bin Dijoshan, the killer of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he exited from the tent and he began to sprint toward your master Abu Abdullah, and he kicked Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as he exited his tent running toward Imam al-Hussein. Do you know what Zainab was doing? She was sprinting from her tent toward the top of the mountain. And one report states that as Zainab was about to approach the body so she can give her life in the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, she began to hear calls calling out, "Hadash, the thirst of Karbala is killing us." So Zainab stood on the hill and she looked as her brother's head was decapitated from his body, and she looked behind her and she heard the calls and the cries of 3-4-year-old children calling out, "Oh Aunt Zainab, where is water? Where is food on this day?"
We raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these eyes that are filled with tears and these hearts that are filled with love of the grandson of God's Prophet, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. I ask you, O Allah, that you allow for our hearts to be the hearts that emanate all of the qualities of Hussein. O Allah, I ask you on this day that you allow for our hearts to stand for justice, to become amongst those hearts which are patient, and to emanate and illuminate all of the values of generosity, of mercy, of compassion, and of beauty in the same way that Hussein ibn Ali did on the day of Ashura. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts these tears, that He accepts our love for God's Prophet, and that He raises us with Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.